Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we're back. And folks, everybody listening to me out there, someday you're going to leave this world. You know, in fact, tonight, all over the world, people will have their souls required of them, folks, tonight. But anyhow, it's not a tragedy to die. We're all going to die. But to die in your sin, that's a horrible thing. You don't want to do that. And you don't have to. The Bible gives you, he makes it very, the Lord Jesus, like Jansen, did all the heavy lifting. You have to call upon his name. And of course, we're going to give an invitation later. But think about this. You leave this world, you get to heaven, you leave here and you go home to be with the Lord for eternity. Wouldn't you really want to say, you know what, while I was there, I did everything I could. I fought, and you know, my Lord has been blessed. He's blessed with me. You know, you might even use the word proud of me. God will be very pleased if you fight the good fight, you run a good race, and if you're a doer of the word. So I'm going to give that again. It's life. postcard.com or faithtoaction.org. Lifepostcard.com or faithtoaction.org. Now, freedom is not free. Some very, very good people paid it. Well, they paid the price. Some of them paid the price with their own blood. Since America was founded, we've had many wars, and we've had those have gone before us. They've bought and they've kept our freedom. Little by little, you have to realize, and I see the polls that they are taking and saying, well, now the American people think that China is our biggest threat. No. Right here, the Communist Party here in America that walk among us, they're your biggest. That's reality. That is reality. These are the people that are selling you out right now, day by day. And here's what they want to do. They want to take away 30% more of American property right now, 30% more, and turn it over. See, the idea is to depopulate the planet, and I can tell you, I've said in their meetings, these so-called left elite really feel that you're parasites, that you folks are just, you're here on their planet, and you're just in their way, and you're polluting, and you're cluttering up their planet, that this planet should be made and kept for them. Now, here, I'm going to go, and we're going to, well, Epic Times, they've got a very good way of putting what we've been telling you about for many, many years. So, Style, take it away.
Agenda 21 is the United Nations 100-year-long master plan for humanity, the agenda for the 21st century. And this 100-year-long agenda is then broken down into shorter 15-year-long plans. The first 15-year plan was called Agenda 2015, or the Millennium Development Goals. And then currently, right now, we are living in the second 15-year plan of Agenda 21, the so-called Agenda 2030, which, according to UN documents, is the agenda to, quote, transform our world for sustainable development. Now, for the past 10 or so odd years, this broad agenda from the United Nations has been trickling down and getting implemented as concrete policies in countries around the whole world. Because what happens is that you have these different organizations, these environmental groups, and these different coalitions, they all go back to their respective countries, and in order to save the planet, they take advantage of the unique political and the unique legal situation in their home countries to get Agenda 2030 implemented at the local level. And so, for instance, right here in America, one of the biggest manifestations of this United Nations Agenda 2030 is the Biden administration's corollary Agenda 30 by 30. This is a plan by the U.S. government to take 30% of America's land completely out of production by the year 2030. This would mean that 30% of the land in this country will be placed into federal conservation, and it would essentially be idled, There will be no grazing, no farming, no drilling, no fishing, no developing, basically just no human activity at all. And while the current aim is to take 30% of America's land by the year 2030, once that's actually achieved, the next step will be to take 50% of America's land by the year 2050, the 50 by 50 plan. It's sort of a rolling project, with the ultimate goal being for the federal government to own the majority of the land in America and to make that land inaccessible to the people, in order to, of course, save the planet. Now, the U.S. federal government is achieving Agenda 30 by 30 in a myriad of different ways. They use the Endangered Species Act. They use the Waters of the U.S. Act. They have the president invoke the Antiquities Act in order to establish national monuments. They use federal money to convince private landowners to put conservation easements on their land. And so while it's technically still private land, you're not allowed to develop it. And then, besides all these different methods, well, there's now a new approach that the federal government is taking in order to push this agenda through. Hidden behind even a year of bureaucratic red tape, the BLM, which is the Bureau of Land Management, they are pushing through a backdoor rules change which would effectively sell out our public land to the highest bidder in order to achieve the goals of the 30 by 30 agenda. Essentially, they are working to create a system wherein these extremely well-funded environmental groups will be able to come in and purchase what would be called conservation leases on otherwise public land. And in so doing, these different environmental groups will be able to restrict all other uses on that so-called public land, meaning that there will be no more recreation, no more mining, grazing, fishing, hunting, or anything of that sort. And so, in order to make sense of how the federal government is going about this, while I was down in Texas, I took the opportunity to sit down and speak with Ms. Simone Griffin. She is the policy director over at an organization called the Blue Ribbon Coalition, which aims to fight back against these different federal land grabs. And she broke down for us exactly what's happening, what it means for the common citizens of this country like you and I, as well as what can actually be done about it. And so, take a super quick moment to smash those like and subscribe buttons and take a listen. Simone, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, this is the Stop 30 by 30 summit. And we were talking, you know, last night, and one of the things I realized after speaking with you is that it's not just about taking the physical land, right? It's sometimes about controlling what you can and cannot do on land that the government doesn't necessarily own, but they control. So can you discuss, tell the audience about some of the attacks on grazing that public lands are facing?
Yeah, and we're facing a lot of attacks. So in the West, there's a lot of public lands, whether it's managed by the National Park Service, Forest Service, BLM. And through the Taylor Grazing Act, grazing allotments have been issued on these public lands. And so even though the BLM, for example, the Bureau of Land Management, they are mandated to manage these lands for multiple use and to allow these allotments, and these grazing allotments, they're private property. I mean, even though they don't own the actual land, they do own the allotment, and they've purchased it, so it is a private property right that they have to graze on their allotments. And what we're seeing is these land agencies, they're enacting policies and management decisions that are greatly going to reduce and have reduced grazing and access on public lands. For example, Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument was designated over 20 years ago, but we've seen the reductions through that management decision of cattle and sheep grazing over the years. Just right now, actually, they're undergoing NEPA process to reevaluate the management plan. And essentially, we're going to see lots of proposals within this management plan that are going to reduce grazing and the allotments. So they're proposing to cut the area, and it's 1.9 million acres, just to this one national monument. And they're proposing to cut the acres available for grazing in half, and the AUMs, basically the amount of cattle that's allowed to be on each allotment, they're going to cut that in half. So these ranchers that have been there for 8, 9 generations, it's their history, it's their family culture, that's just getting slashed from out from underneath them. And it's hurting our economy, it's hurting education. I mean, it's such a ripple effect of how it affects these small communities. And that's just one plan and one national monument. And we're seeing more national monuments designated. We're seeing management plans all over the Western United States that are hurting these ranchers that have been doing it and have been the true stewards of the land for generations.
I mean, you mentioned a few things, but I can also imagine the investment you put in, assuming you have access to this public land. Let me ask you, why are they doing this? What's the at the very least surface level reason that they're taking away this land from the use?
So they want wilderness. They want the lands to be designated as wilderness. And even though the land is already protected by dozens of laws, such as the Endangered Species Act and the Water Act, I mean, there's so many laws already protecting the land, and then they create a national monument to protect it even more, so they claim. But eventually they want it to be wilderness, and they don't want any use. They don't want roads. They don't want access. And so if they can start cutting down grazing and access in general, then they can hopefully get it designated by Congress to be wilderness, and then nobody will be able to touch it forever, and that land will be permanently locked up. And 30 by 30, they say they want these lands protected. They never define how they want it protected, because you could argue that 30% of lands and water are already protected through the various laws and executive orders and regulations that we already have, but they want to take it a step further. They want it protected by wilderness, which is designated through Congress.
So let me back up and try to tell you what I understand. You said, because I'm sure a lot of people in the audience who maybe live in cities, they're not necessarily dialed in with what's happening in the rural countryside. So you have public lands that are owned by the federal government, right? Or a state government, or is it only the federal government?
So there is state. So, for example, in the county that I live in, we only have 3% private land in the entire county. 91% of the county is federally owned, and then about 6%, 5 to 6% is state-owned. So you do have some lands that are owned by the state, but the majority is owned by the federal government.
Okay. So then let's say you have a ranch. So you obviously need your cattle to go graze somewhere to eat the grass. So you would buy an allotment, and an allotment is sort of like saying it's a permission slip for you to be able to graze in this particular area, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So when you buy that allotment, that's sort of your area. Like another farmer can't also say, well, I also get this piece of land. Is that correct?
Yes, that is their property. They own that allotment. And you can sell it. You can exchange it. I mean, it is an actual right, and it's an asset that you now own. And so something that is happening when a president comes in and uses the Antiquities Act to designate millions of acres of land as a national monument, then these ranchers no longer have this private property to graze on. So then they buy these allotments, like you said, to graze cattle on. And what we're seeing is special interest groups, they're coming in and they're trying to buy these allotments up from the longtime ranchers. Because then once they buy the allotment, they have no intentions of ever putting cattle on the allotment. And then they want to have the allotments permanently retired to completely remove cattle from ever being on that piece of property ever again, completely diminishing the history of the Western United States. And then once there's no cattle, once there's no improvements in fences and roads, then they can designate it as wilderness.
So back to that earlier example. So let's say I'm a cattle rancher. I buy this allotment on the public land near my ranch so I can bring my herd over there to graze. The government then changes the rules. Is it such that the allotment is no longer I'm allowed to use the allotment, or is it like a percentage thing? Like, how does it actually work in practice?
So it's through different management plans. So for example, all public lands, they have to have a resource management plan done, or the Forest Service, they have a forest management plan, and that's the overarching plan that dictates how it's going to be ran, and it addresses things such as mining, such as recreation, roads. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into this huge plan that governs the land for like 20, 30 years at times. And so what they'll do is they'll create areas that they say are not permissible for grazing. And even if your allotment falls in that area, then it's going to be removed and you will no longer be able to have your cattle go in that area. And sometimes these areas encompass an entire allotment. And can the government legally do this? I don't believe so. I believe it's unconstitutional. I believe there's litigation that will need to happen if they truly try and do this. But instead of just completely closing it off, their allotments, how they're doing it is they're reducing AUMs that they're allowed to have. So they're reducing the number of cattle that they're allowed to have. They're making it difficult for the ranchers and the grazers to do any type of improvement projects. So they're putting all this red tape up to build fence or to get water to their cattle. So there's these roundabout ways that they're frustrating the grazing operation rather than just because these ranchers, they have the rights. They're protected by the Taylor Grazing Act that protects their allotments. They can't just come in and completely take it unless Congress does that. And so there's these roundabout ways that they're using to really restrict their cattle and grazing operations.
So that's how they do it. Mm-hmm. Because that was my question. Like, can they actually, would they reimburse the person? But I guess they can't take it, but they just make it almost impossible to operate.
Right. They make it unprofitable for them. And so we have seen a decline in grazing operations, and they frustrate these longtime stewards of the land, and they look to a new profession at some point, and it's really sad.
You know, yesterday you told me that this is very similar to what's happening in the Netherlands, much more than what we discussed before. And it sounds like it, because if you have a property next to a designated nature preserve, then you are actually screwed, right?
Yes. Yeah.
What's the trend? What percentage of public land is being right now reformatted and is having this like red tape regulation put in, or is it just a blanket? Would it be a blanket across the country?
So it's not blanket, but we are seeing a lot of areas, Bureau of Land Management, Forest Service. We're seeing a lot of these big planning processes come through with the current administration. And so they're looking to get these management plans pushed through within the next few years to restrict access and grazing. And so, for example, in southern Utah, there's a plan for about 2 million acres. There's another one I'm expecting to come out any day that's another 2 million acres. There's one in southern Wyoming currently that's 3.7 million acres that they're looking to cut grazing in half as well. And so they come piece by piece depending on the area, but we're seeing an onslaught of them right now that they're trying to reduce these. And that's coming because of the administration. It's coming because these environmental groups are really pushing for it. The environmental groups, they hate cattle. They call ranchers welfare ranchers. They think they're stealing from the American people. They think they're the main cause of climate change. There's even in southern Utah, there was a leader of one of these environmental groups that she was actually caught closing a private fence on an allotment that was blocking cattle from getting to their water source, killing cattle. And so there's just this onslaught of ranchers are horrible and cows are hurting the environment when it's the complete opposite. But we are facing an onslaught right now from this push of updating management plans that dictate how they manage the lands and what is allowed with grazing.
That's actually amazing in a certain sense. Without any new pieces of legislation, they're just using rules and regulations to just put onerous restrictions on farmers and ranchers. Well, but it's not, is it really just limited to ranchers? Because I can imagine, like, if you just live in that area and you want to use the land recreationally, if they're trying to rewild it, will that also be affected?
Yeah. So like I said, this plan affects lots of different things, and then they'll go into smaller planning after. So this is the resource management plan in this example I'm talking about. But then after they'll have travel management where they look at each additional roads. But just in this resource management plan that we're seeing in Grand Staircase, Escalante National Monument, they're proposing to restrict gathering wood. Most of the locals heat their homes through wood-burning stoves, so they're not going to be able to gather wood. You can't go and camp and have a fire in this 1.9 million acres. You can't go out and do recreational target shooting. They're closing OHV areas that have been open for generations that people recreate on, and it helps the local tourism economy that they have pushed on the locals because they've closed so many other industries through the creation of the monument. And so, yeah, it affects anybody who wants to use these lands, whether you're just camping, whether you're grazing, whether you're a mining claim owner. They want to restrict everybody. They don't want people on the land anymore. They want everybody off of it, and it's devastating.
Well, what's crazy from what you're saying is that, okay, they want this or they want that, but they actually have a mechanism to get that done, and they're using that mechanism. What's the timetable here? When are some of these effects going to go, regulations going to go into effect?
So the planning process for these management plans takes several years because they have to go through the National Environmental Policy Act. And so we saw the first stage a year ago, and we're in the second stage. For it to actually be implemented will take probably another year or two, but you never know. They're trying to ram these things through, so it could come up in about 6 months. But there's no legal timeline that's given, and that's what makes NEPA so difficult is it's not standard on how long this process takes. So I imagine, though, for a lot of them, because they're greatly restricting access for all users and they're limiting multiple use, there'll be litigation with these management plans. And so we'll see what happens.
When you say NEPA, what does that stand for?
So the National Environmental Policy Act. And it's the law that requires agencies and anything that's going to affect the environment to go through this NEPA process where they have to analyze the effects on the ecosystem and on the environment of any potential project that's going to happen with federal agencies.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now that you outline, I think, the problem very well, is there any solution? Let's say somebody's watching this, they live in the area, they wake up to the fact that this is happening. What can people do?
So they can engage through NEPA. So that's one part of NEPA is it requires public comments. So the public can submit comments saying if they support the proposals or not. And so that's one way to get engaged. And when you do that, you create legal standing. The environmental groups have been able to push their agenda to close off ranching and grazing and multiple use because they litigate. And so we need to submit public comments and be prepared to litigate decisions that restrict use. The other things that we're starting to see is legislation that actually defunds these planning processes. So it would require Congress to actually give approval for these agencies to move forward with spending money on the planning process, which would help a lot as well.
So that would be like a proposed piece of legislation at the federal level.
Yes, and there is legislation proposed for certain of these planning processes, but it would be great if all the planning processes had the same legislation that requires Congress to give them the okay to move forward during these.
Now, if you'd like to dig deeper into the subject, to dig deeper into Agenda 2030, its specific manifestations, as well as how it appears to really be putting farmers around the whole world out of business, well, my team and I spent the better part of the last year researching, traveling the globe, and putting together a phenomenal research project in the form of a documentary called No Farmers, No Food. Here's a trailer.
Food prices are skyrocketing around the world. And if you listen to world leaders, they'll tell you it's due to climate change.
Climate change is the biggest threat for the human beings.
And their solution might surprise you.
There are 1,900 edible insect species on the planet.
The European Commission has officially declared mealworms to be food.
Yes, this is your food.
The people in charge have determined that by switching our diets to crickets, ants, and mealworms, we'll be able to stop temperatures from rising, lower the price of food, and possibly to even save the planet.
It's never about innovation. It's always about getting rid of farmers.
Agenda 21 was meant to be the agenda for the 21st century. Some of the goals sound nice. Ending hunger. Who could possibly be against ending hunger? It requires total power from the state.
I think it's a scam.
A lot of this came about in the early 70s, the Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, which were good things, but it's been abused from what the original intent is.
No, maybe
not this
one. No,
there's not a farm anymore. No, there's also not a farm anymore.
So all these people shut down because of the government policies?
Yeah.
I'm the sixth generation of farmer.
Yeah, I'm the fourth generation.
How many years have they owned this plot of land?
40 years.
I think we're the last generation.
They're shutting down the small and middle-sized family-run farms.
We either own property or we are property.
I don't think we can trust the government anymore because they want the land.
And our founding fathers understood that the land would be distributed among the people so they could always control their government.
Right now, things have tripled as far as cost. I think you're going to see across the board higher food prices.
Has anybody been held accountable for screwing up? No.
As every communist tyrant of the last 100 years has understood, if you control the food, you control the people.
Everything is falling apart. There is a shortage of food.
We're heading for a world food crisis, as we hear all the time.
Do you see any hope for the situation?
Yeah, we have to continue fighting for it. No farmers, no food. They will know it.
If you'd like to check out that.
All right, folks, listen, freedom is not free. It is not free. And I'm going to tell you, here in Ohio, now, these Agenda 2030 people, they go by different names in different states. Here in Ohio, they're called NAWACA, NAWACA. Now, you've heard us talk about them several times on this radio program. And we go and we to their meetings, and we try to go and let them know we don't want NAWACA in our county. We don't want them in our county. These are not politicians. These people, for the most part, are bureaucrats who are very, very shady. They work in the shadows. They're like blood suckers that have a way to go and lobby politicians to get your tax dollars. And that's the way they work. Now, let me tell you what they want to do. Their long-range goals, I've talked about this for decades. They want to move everybody out. They want to extend the city limits of all your major cities out 10 miles all the way around in a complete circle around 10 miles out. Now, by doing that, they can virtually move every occupant in the state within that area. The idea is to have apartment buildings that are 33 stories high, and these are huge apartment complexes, huge complexes. And what they will do is you will have no cars. You will be restricted. It's called 15-minute cities, to where you can go. If you want to go back out into the countryside where you once lived, you have to get permission from the elite. The countryside is supposed to be kept pristine for them. They believe in controlling you. Now, again, when they're talking about eating bugs, folks, eating bugs will make you sick. Eating bugs will make you sick. Now, if you find yourself eating bugs, you've already become stupid, very stupid, okay? So if you're eating these bugs, say, I'm eating these bugs because I'm stupid. You see, God created those bugs. He knew them. And God says and tells us, don't eat the bugs, folks. You see, God's not the author of confusion, okay? Democrats are the author of confusion. Liberals, communists out there. And so, again, you're going to have this. You're going to lose your property and all this unless you stand and fight. If you don't stand and fight, you will lose it. And now, if you don't stand and fight, you don't deserve it to begin with. That's right. Now, let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you again about what we were talking about early, lifepostcard.com, lifepostcard.com, or faith, the letter 2, are the number 2, action.org. Faith, you know, it's F, the word F, the letter F, rather, the number 2, the letter A, .org. FTA.org. Now, you go up there and you can donate. I would do that tonight. Now, don't call here. We've had a number of people calling here. You can't do it by calling here, okay? I can't even do it by calling here. And so, anyhow, there you go. You need to do that. We're coming up to a break, and when we come back from the break, I think I'll open the phone lines and take some calls. And so we'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
The
doctor did our dirty work. So now we pay the bill. We thought he solved our problem, but our life's a living hell. I toss and turn in bed at night, 'cause God, it's hard to sleep. In my heart and in my mind I hear a voice that says to me, you could have took me fishing, Dad. You could have taught me how to swim. I could have made you proud of me. Now I'll never have that chance. I could have been your little boy, standing right there by your side. I could have been your pride and joy. Daddy, did I have to die? I never thought of it as right or wrong, but I think about it now. Oh God, I'd give my life if I could just turn time back somehow. I'd let him live and watch him grow. Oh, I'd buy him everything. But now he won't need a ball or bat. He'll never play one game. You could have been my hero, Dad. You could have done what daddies do. You could have rode me on your back. You could have taught me to tie my shoes. I could have grown into a man. I should have had my chance at life. We could have been the best of friends. Daddy, did I have to die? God, the choice of life belongs to you. It wasn't hers or mine. And I know she feels the same way too. Sometimes I hear her cry. How can we ever be the same or live with what was done? Instead of these two broken hearts, God, we might have had a son. You could have been my hero, Dad. You could have done what daddies do. You could have rode me on your back. You could have taught me to tie my shoes. I could have been your little boy, standing right there by your side. I could have been your pride and joy. Daddy, did I have to die? Daddy, did I have to die?
No, you didn't have to die. If the folks would have stood up and fought for you, you wouldn't have had to, but most of them wouldn't do it. Now, listen here. I want to tell you, we'll be doing that for the Tactical Civics Meeting. Tactical Civics Meeting tomorrow, 7 p.m. at Doers of the Word Baptist Church, 14781 Sperry Road, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio. We need to take our country back, folks. We've got to take our country back. And that's at 7 p.m., Doers of the Word Baptist Church. Now, Sunday, don't forget, Sunday, the Geauga County Right to Life Christmas Concert. Pastor Steve over there at the Chester Christian Center does a tremendous job in bringing in talented people. And what a blessing. You really get blessed. You really get blessed. There's no admission fee. We take a love offering. I will be there meeting and greeting people. Geauga County Right to Life has worked very, very hard, very, very hard to save babies. They fought, all volunteer, never, they don't get paid, but the cause is a righteous cause. We need your help. Come on out and join us, stand with us, be blessed with us. And I wanted to say one more quick thing here. We came up, this radio ministry came up 25,000 short of what we needed. And, you know, in about 20 minutes it was due today. But we, if any of you out there feel a little generous, could help us out a little bit, we need some extra help this month. We haven't asked that all year long for extra help, but we need it now. So the address is WRWL 14781, WRWL Ministries, or just WRWL 14781 Sperry Road. That's Sperry Road, Newberry, Newbury. That's Newberry, Ohio, 44065. And if you could help us out, we definitely need it right now. And I'm going to go and take some calls. And I'm going to start with Ed in Cleveland. Ed, you're in the air.
How you doing, Pastor Big Guy?
I'm doing okay, Ed. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. You know, I value your opinion. And there's two major wars, a conflict, or whatever you want to call it, that has American involvement. Foreign entanglement, whichever way you choose to look at it, the Ukraine, the Israeli situation. I'll be completely honest with you. My opinion, I don't know if there's any good guys or bad guys. If there is, I can't distinguish the difference between the two. The Israelis have a lot of skeletons in their closet. They have a lot of involvement with how Hamas have involved, how it's been financed. The Russians don't want NATO on their doorstep. I'm sure there's other things involved, and I'm sure that Biden's involved. But my thing is, I just think like the founding fathers, maybe the American military and maybe American lives should not be extended to either conflict. How do you feel about it?
Well, first of all, the good guys are the ones that are getting shot and killed. And what's happening out there, you've got the military-industrial complex. You've got people on both sides. We told you from the very start when you went into Ukraine about the black market, the money that was being made. We told you that all of these arms and guns we're sending over there were going to go on the black market. That's exactly what happened, okay? We have a completely corrupt. The Biden regime is completely corrupt. There's nothing about it that is not corrupt. And again, like I said, they didn't give $85 billion worth of military equipment to the Taliban. They didn't give it to them. They always get money comes back. It always finds ways of getting back to making, and it gets to the heads of all the people it's supposed to get to. We've known this for a long time. Again, when it comes to this, you got to get rid of. We've got to stand up. You've got to fight back. We've got to take our country back. This is what we've been telling you about for so long. Okay, and as far as Israel goes, look, Israel's doing exactly what God says she's going to do. Read the book of Hosea. Right, Israel has always been a stiff-necked people, always, and this is why you have a tribulation period. The tribulation period is for the purification. Israel's referred to the wife of God. She's going to get a bad, bad whipping, okay? But God is going to take care of that. And God says he'll do that. Don't you fool with her. You leave her alone. He's going to take care of that. And see, it's very, very good to listen to God, okay? And this is why those peoples that come against Israel always wish they hadn't done it, okay, because God says that's...
Doesn't it say in Ezekiel, I think it's 38, 39, the chapters, that Russia would be pulled into a situation they wouldn't want to be in, put hooks into...
He's going to put hooks in their jaws, yeah, he's going to bring them down. And you see, in other words, he's telling them, they think that it's their idea. They think that this is their idea. But God say, no, no, it's not your idea. Here's how it's going to work. You're going to come. Okay, why? Well, Russia didn't repent. She didn't repent. See, God makes it simple. Repent or perish. And he's done this for 6,000 years. He's showing you over and over and over again. And people pay attention. But I got to move on because the entire board is lit. But thanks for calling. All right, we'll go to Clifford. Clifford, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi. I have a question about James I want to get to. But along the lines of what you're talking about was in-country betrayal. There was earlier this week a little interview about how a firm, a private firm headed by ex-FBI, was involved in going after social media to keep under wraps the side effects or ill effects of the Moderna vaccine. Now, talk about betrayal in the country. You know, people are posting what happened to them on, or trying to post on Twitter and Facebook what happened to them from these shots. And these are ex-FBI agents, led by one in particular that went after social media for this on behalf of Big Pharma.
Now what you're talking about is Rumble. See, Rumble is suing the video platform. They're going after and they're suing these people you're talking about who is working, and they've been working with the government, the CIA. All of these people have been working with AI, with Twitter, whatever. And so now here you've got what has taken place very quickly. An organization called Check My Ads, a company foundation. Nandini, Jamie, and Claire Atkin, as part of their work, routinely pressure advertisers in exchange to boycott conservative news sites and alternative media platforms, citing concerns over hate speech. And what they're doing, basically, they're trying to silence us. And so Rumble, because they made false accusations against Rumble, they say the Rumble was making most of its money from Google when only 1% of the entire company's earnings came from Google. And so they're suing these people. But this was Biden put the order out, silence conservatives, period. So that's where it goes to.
Oh, and one more thing that just relates the David Knight Show podcast from the 28th of this month, 20 minutes in, has clips from Ireland from their so-called Justice Department. You know, it's like a woman and it's, you know, a couple of – that they're basically a Green Party saying the same exact thing that they're saying here about controlling people, limiting their farming and so on. So it is strange. Also, I just want to ask you on James chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. To me, that sounds like that's talking to people that are already Christian, that are in a drift.
Well, it is. It is. He's talking to people that are professing Christians. He's speaking to the church or the professing church here. He says, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" He's making two points. One is you better check your salvation to find out if you're really saved, because you're not expressing behavior as a Christian, someone that's indwelt with the Holy Spirit. No, you're acting like someone that's not. But I got to move on. But thanks. Let's go to Jack in San Diego.
Yes, Pastor Ernie, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So when I was talking about the internet the other night, I made a mistake. I said identity theft occurred every 3 minutes in the United States. It turns out that the actual figure, according to LifeLock, is every 3 seconds, there's is an act of identity theft.
That's what I thought. You know, when you said that, that's what came to mind.
So here's my question. Lead us not into temptation would be the internet. Deliver us from evil would be the internet. Don't we have an obligation, since the internet is so compromised, to absolve ourselves of anything to do with the internet?
Well,
say in my own testimony.
Okay.
Don't use the internet.
Lead us into temptation would be the internet. But
KC, don't have a cell phone. I don't need it. That's my testimony.
Well, let me just tell you this, okay? Deliver us from, lead us not into temptation. The internet does that, but the Bible is what will deliver you from evil, and the internet is, it can be used like fire. It can be used for good or evil. But you're right. There's a lot of misinformation on that internet, and it takes discernment. But I spent a lot more time in the Bible. All right, let's go to Hal. Wait a minute. Hal, you hang in there. Let's go to AC. AC, you go ahead.
Pastor, the one caller that you had that wasn't sure who the good guys and bad guys were in the Israeli-Hamas situation.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the Israelis don't have any skeletons in their closets. And God made it clear that the land of Israel would be restored. The nation of Israel is the fig tree talked about in Matthew 24. And David Ben-Gurion told the Israelis in 1948 that they needed to follow the prophets, the Old Testament prophets, what we call the Old Testament. And if they would do that, their nation would prosper. And all you have to do is look at who the gods are in this situation. Who's the God that Israel worships, and who's the God that Hamas worships? And you'll know who the good guys and the bad guys are. It's real simple. And Israel isn't, they've got their sin there. I'm not saying there isn't. But what is God's will in this situation? God's will is for Israel to have that land. And they never, ever should have divided Gaza out. That was never God's will. And now they've got problems.
Well, they've got problems. They've got problems because they have not been AC. Israel has not been obedient to God. In Israel today, you've got abortion higher than in this country. You've got prostitution worse than this country. You've got pedophilia. Why? Well, the same Antichrist communist mind that's here in America is there in Israel too. But it's
right.
And so, again, this is the purpose of the tribulation period to purify. This is why all of those, you're either saved or you're not. Israel is not saved yet. Okay. But I got to move on because we're running out of time. But thanks. Let's go to this. Got to be the last call. A very quick one for Steve. Steve, you're in the air. Go ahead.
Hey, you guys are great. Love y'all. Steve Bannon said today, General McCarthy and the other one just slipped my mind for the second. We sold out the Russians and the Chinese people. They were our allies in basically Great Britain. And if the generals would have been allowed to go on and take care of their war and take care of everything, we wouldn't be having any problems right now, would we?
MacArthur didn't sell out to nobody. He wanted to go right into China, but he wanted to go in with Bibles and not guns. And that if they would have let him do that, we wouldn't have the problems we have.
They didn't sell out, but they weren't allowed to do what they knew how to do.
That's right.
Afghanistan.
That's right.
And we wouldn't have any problem right now. I mean, if they were able to do their job back then, right now we'd have the Russian people and the Chinese people all the allies we had. They basically sold out to their governments, and I'm just kind of putting it together in how we built the Suez Canal.
I'm out of time for tonight, but thanks, Steve. I got to move on. Hal, you've got about 4 minutes to tell the folks how they can avoid the lake of fire and get to heaven.
Okay, can you hear me pretty good?
We can hear you pretty good.
Good. Well, the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
You know, right in the Bible, I was reading that what shall a profit of a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This crazy, woke, antichrist Marxist group of people, they're killing each other. They're killing everybody that gets in their way for a piece of land that they're not going to have very long before God sends them to hell because they rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior and following the devil. But listen, you don't want to end up there with them. And the Bible says that Jesus, when he died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every sin we've ever done. The Bible says that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, John 14:6. And Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us the free gift. Jesus, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every sin we've ever done. Every sin in full. But now that payment don't become ours until we by faith reach out and receive it. That's why, as he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God loves you, but he hates your sins. God wants you to come to heaven, but he says your sins cannot come with you. And the only thing that can wash away your sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's applied to you, your soul, and your life the moment you, by faith, ask Jesus to come into your heart. He takes his blood and he washes you clean. That's why Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. It's not through your church membership. It's not through some priest or preacher or pope or any of these people like that. It's through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Now, I know if you're listening to my voice right now and you've got any sanity at all, you'd rather go to heaven than go to hell. And God's telling you how to do it. If you're smart, you're going to do it his way. And if you're dumb, you're going to try and do it man's way. And if you want to do it Jesus' way, Revelation 3:20 said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Hear his voice is to hear his word, which you're doing right now. If you want to open up the door of your heart and let Jesus come in, say a simple prayer right now. That's how you open up that door of your heart and mean it. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That means if you're sorry about the fact that you're a sinner and that your sins have grieved God and you want those sins washed away, God will do it. But you have to come to him with a repentant heart and he'll wash away your sins and give you eternal life. His Holy Spirit will come in and give you that life. So if you'd like to do that, let me lead you in a prayer right now. And even though we're praying together, it'd be directly between you and God. He's knocking at the door of your heart, but only you can open up that door and let him come in. So let's do it. Dear God, I confess unto you that I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And I believe that you, Lord Jesus, and only you, have died on the cross and shed your blood to wash away my sins. And all the other religions of the world are bankrupt compared to Christianity and what you did for us on the cross. And Lord Jesus, I here and now ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins, and save my soul from hell, because I believe you died on the cross and shed your blood for my salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, if you prayed that prayer, ladies and gentlemen, and you meant it, God says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. To believe on meant that you received.
30 seconds.
Believe about, and what you did when you asked Jesus to come into your heart. And then he says that you may know, not just think it, wish it, or hope for it, but that you may know. How can you know? Because God made you that promise, and God cannot lie. I'd rather have God make me a promise than all the people in the world, because the Bible says that God be true and every man a liar. So go ahead, Pastor. It's all yours.
All right. Everything you just said is absolutely true, Pastor Helen. And again, that's reality, what we're dealing with. And so, folks, like the Bible says, repent or perish. We're out of time for tonight. So as we always say at this time, we want to say good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless.
And always. Ready? Always. Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted.
Based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers.
And walk around the office.
On eggshells.
And have my words policed.
By HR.
Words like.
Grandfather.
Peanut gallery.
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety.
And do workplace sensitivity training.
All day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.